Hello, friends. This is Bob Elson aboard the 20th Century Limited, one of the world's great trains, where we have a host of travelers again today and some of America's best-known people. In fact, here's one of them right now.
Woo-hoo! Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, glad to see you, Bob. How are you?
Yeah, oh, my, my. And, of course, you recognize that. Say, here's somebody else pushing in here.
What are you doing imitating me, Dave? Woo-hoo! This is Hugh Herbert of some. Even if you're going on imitating me, I can't even imitate myself. Woo-hoo!
Thank you very much. This last one was the real Hugh Herbert, and the gentleman before that was one of America's greatest impressionists, Mr. Dean Murphy. We'll talk to Mr. Herbert here first, and then we'll get back to Mr. Murphy in a few minutes. How are you, Mr. Herbert?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Well, just fine and dandy. What brings you from California and here on the world's one of the world's great trains today on your way to New York? What's going on?
Well, I'm
going to
go there and be on the Hall of Fame, I think, and Hobby Lobby and a couple of radio programs. Go there for activity, because I come away from inactivity. So you get restless out there, so you go to New York to get, you know, a little bit more rest, so you get back home to get some more rest. It's kind of twisted up, but that's the idea.
Mr. Herbert, where did you originally come from, and where did you get started in California?
Well, I originally came from New York City, born in New York City.
Were you in vaudeville originally?
Yes, in vaudeville for a good many years. Played here at the Majestic and played at the Palace. In later years, I played at the State Lake, and then I played at the one opposite Henrici's. What's that, the Oriental?
Yes, did you have a single act, Mr. Herbert?
No, I did sketches and did marvelous sketches written by me. They were perfectly wonderful.
Well, tell me, when did you create this sort of a character that you use now so successfully? Yes.
Well, that was with Wheeler Woolsey a good many years ago. And Louis Kilhern and I were up in a tree, and the wind started to blow, and we had had a good night before that. We weren't supposed to be at work, and weren't prepared for it. We got up in the tree and were pretty nervous, and I said, here we go again, woo-woo, and all these extras started. I went, woo, and every time I go to the fights after that, they all started.
I see. That's how it got started, huh?
That's how it got started.
Mr. Herbert, what about, when did you get to California into Hollywood? What was Hollywood like when you got there? Do you remember who were some of the most prominent people?
Well, Gladys Brockwell and the Costello girls, and I can't remember exactly. Of course, Max Sennett was a big man then, and Charlie Chaplin. In fact, I wrote the first all-talking picture ever made, The Lights of New York. That might be news
to you. Lights
of
New York, yes.
Yeah.
Was Rudolph Valentino there when you were there?
Oh, yeah, Rudy was there. And strange enough, people picture nowadays, Rudy was a very short little man. You know, all those pictures of these heroes being great big tall guys.
Like myself.
You know,
they've been trying, haven't they, rather unsuccessfully, to create another Valentino for many years.
Yes, they have. I think they've created better ones than Valentino, though, later on. Yes, Hugh Herbert, you know.
Tell me, Mr. Herbert, really, seriously, what kind of an actor was Valentino? Was he considered in that time a good actor, or was he just a good-looking guy?
He was a good-looking guy, a good pantomimist. I don't know about acting. If he had to say lines, what he'd be like at all, I can't tell, see, because that's another different technique entirely. When you get up there and you can stay in a pantomime, and you can be anybody, but when you get up there and be Dean Murphy, you're doing something.
Yes. Mr. Herbert, was Max Sennett in his heyday when you got out there?
Yeah, he was one of the big... he was a silent man, too. Jump in the air, and he and...
Fatty Arbuckle?
Fatty Arbuckle, and the fellow that died, what's his name? I forget, used to jump in the air. And
Lloyd Hamilton?
No, the other fellow, the goatee that did the German.
I don't remember him, but Lloyd Hamilton. Remember the fellow wore those little caps?
Yeah, very, very well. Little fellow, just sort of a... kind of a half... one of those things. Only he did it silently.
No. What, of all the things that you've been in, Mr. Herbert, out there, what have you enjoyed the most?
Well, I think when I did the Convention City, and then the La Conga Nights, where I played myself and my four sisters and my mother. In a picture. Another picture, I played my four brothers and my father in the department store. I played a kleptomaniac in my own department store. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
So when I come here in town and get into Marshall Fields, the four walkers come up and touch me on the shoulder and say, pardon me, would you mind stepping outside before you go through the store? They think I am. Got concealed arms or something, and let me have it.
Where do you live out there, Hugh?
In the San Fernando Valley. Make the San Fernando... that'll cost us money if I do that. It's a very beautiful place in the San Fernando Valley, in the valley there, where you get... we'll walk around with old clothes on, and the women wear slacks and practically nothing. Well, that's one of the reasons I go back every now and then.
Yes. Has Hollywood, for instance, in 20, 25 years, I know that the pace has changed considerably with the silent pictures and now the talkies, but... is the competition, is everything just about the same out there on the same scale?
You mean comparatively with the pictures?
Yes, in 25 years, for people, is it...
The competition, of course, is much more terrific now than ever. It changed the city out there, I think, from a romantic, nice little place to a commercial city. Hollywood is a great big built-up cosmopolitan town, something to look at, all the neon lights along like Broadway. It's a miniature Broadway. When I went out there first, there was rice fields, really, right off Sunset Boulevard, and plenty of orange groves and grapefruit grow. You can't buy them. You can hardly buy grapefruit out there now. They're only actors. Actors two for a cent, but grapefruit costs money.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Herbert. Right. It's well talking with you today, and I hope you enjoy your ride on the Century. And do enjoy a shave with Crank Shave Cream tomorrow morning. It's wonderful. And once you use it, I'll bet you'll never use it again.
I came here to get some of this Crank Shaving Cream.
Thank you very, very much.
So long, Dee. So
that was a very famous Hollywood personality, Mr. Hugh Herbert. Thank you very much, Mr. Herbert. Now we have a charming young lady here today. What is your name, please?
Trixie.
Trixie what?
Trixie Fershke.
Trixie Fershke?
That's right.
Miss Fershke, that sounds like a, what is it, Hungarian name?
No, it's Austrian.
It's Austrian.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also in the show business?
Yes, I'm with Ice Capades.
And tell me, where did you get started? Where were you born?
I was born in Budapest, Hungary. And then when I was 2 years old, my parents took me to Vienna, and I stayed there until I was about 10.
I see.
And then my parents took me on the road with them, and my father taught me juggling.
What did your father do?
Well, when he was younger, he used to do juggling, and then later on he worked with my mother, and he did a balancing act, perch.
Yes. Did you say your father had a circus?
Yes, he did. He had a very small circus in Austria, traveling all the little cities.
What was it like? How many animals and people did they have?
Oh, they had about maybe two bears and about three lions. And
two bears or two bears?
Bears.
And two or three lions?
Uh-huh, and about two monkeys.
I see. And they did most of the acting themselves, your mother and father?
Yes, yes. And my father's brother was there, too.
Yeah. Well, how did your father happen to teach you, Trixie, the type of act that you're doing? And tell us something about it.
Well, he was a juggler himself, as I said before, and he thought, well, to think of some new things to play with rubber balls and plates. See, at that time it was new.
Uh-huh.
So he taught me that, and it's been quite successful.
Yes, well, now tell us something about your act. I haven't seen it. What is the highlight of what you do?
Well, I do a trick with where I juggle six plates and bounce a ball on my head at the same time. That is one of the most difficult things I do.
It's pretty difficult. What about the breakage? You break many plates?
No, they're made out of wood. They don't break.
I see. So it doesn't matter when one slips, huh?
No.
Well, thank you very much for telling us about yourself today, Trixie. And for the man in your life, here's a giant tube of Crank Shave Cream. It's wonderful. Have him use it, and he'll never use any other.
Well,
thank you very,
Bob.
Very much for being our guest. You know, men, don't be too quick to blame your razor when it scrapes and pulls and gives you an uncomfortable shave. What you ought to do is to try Crank Shave Cream containing Dioxin, and see if you don't get a quicker, smoother, closer shave without any scrapes, pulls, or burning. You see, Dioxin and Crank Shave Cream is something new. A new discovery that softens the hairs on your face in a matter of seconds and makes it an easier job for your razor to clip them off. Even men with tough, wiry beards are amazed at the wonder-working effects of Dioxin and Crank Shave Cream. Mr. W.J. Hawk of 2867 East 91st Street, Chicago, recently wrote us, "I listen to you every night, and I bought Crank Shave Cream on your recommendation. And I'm certainly glad because it's given me the best shaves I've had in my entire life." And Mr. Joe R. Nevin of 711 Lyons Avenue, Irvington, New Jersey, says, "I was rather skeptical regarding the claims you made for Crank Shave Cream, but after completing my first jar, I can hardly speak highly enough of this product. I've tried countless shave creams, but up to date, have found that Crank Shave Cream surpasses all others. Friends, on my personal recommendation, ask for Crank Shave Cream next time. You can get it in the tube, the half pound, or the pound jar." And now an old friend of mine and one of the top figures in the theatrical business, Mr. Dean Murphy, who started our show today with his impression of you, Herbert. How are you, Dean?
Woohoo, I'm fine. Oh, excuse me, Bob.
Yeah. Dean, what you just started to do for us has sort of set the pace in impressionists in the theatrical business in the last 20 years. How did you get started, and where'd you come from?
Up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I got started through a mutual friend of yours, Dave Miller, who was at the Riverside Theater. Dave's out on the coast now with Columbia Pictures.
Well, I don't know anybody who's done better with the impressions than you have. And, Dean, how did you happen to get in this angle of the show business?
Well, I was studying law at the University of Wisconsin and doing apings of various people around me that weren't public personalities and discovered that I could do a few of those and got into show business.
And it's done very well for you, hasn't
it? Yes, I've been very lucky, Bob.
Been just swell. Tell me, who besides Mr. Herbert, of course, I happened to catch your act a few weeks ago in Minneapolis, and I enjoyed it. One of the things you did was Hildegard.
That's right. And you had Mr. Boyer through here yesterday, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, I imagine he said I enjoy very much being on his program with you, Bob.
Well, the funny part about it is we would have liked to see Mr. Boyer. We didn't see him until the train was just ready to go out, and we didn't have a chance to catch him. He's one of the few Hollywood people we've missed. Dean, one of the things you're very famous for are your impressions of Mrs. Roosevelt and our late great president. Would you give us a sample of those?
Well, I imagine the one that we would do in this case would be Mrs. Roosevelt to say, "I've traveled plenty, as you well knew, my dear Mr. Elson.
and one of the finest routes for comfortable travel is 20th century.
Oh, that's wonderful. That has really got it down pat. Would you give us a few words of Frank FDR?
Well, of course, it's more or less objective today to do that, but some of the great quotations of his, one of the primary ones, was, "My friends and fellow Americans, the spirit of this world today must be one of brothers, and it's up to each and every citizen to exercise his obligation to treat his fellow men as he so should desire to be treated."
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, they tell me that you did these a number of times for Mr. Roosevelt himself.
Yes, I did. His mother discovered me while I was in the Rainbow Room in 1939, and consequent appearances followed at the White House, 22 in number, and the Hyde Park picnic for the Queen and King of England, the hot dog picnic, and several down at Warm Springs.
Yes. Dean, when you used to go to the White House to entertain the president, what was the setup there?
Well, it was usually a social gathering, many times for the cabinet members, his dinner that he tendered them, or to the Supreme Court justices, or just particular friends, like when Winston Churchill was there, and Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands, and the Princess Grand Duchess Marie of Luxembourg, and people like that.
I see. You know, one of the things I recall that you did was Jimmy Stewart.
That's right.
Could you do one for a little of him for us?
Well, I would, but I'm afraid this train's going to pull out, and I won't be on it. That's about all.
How much time do you give to these characterizations, to these impressions, Dean? What do you do? I mean, after you get one, you listen to recordings, you catch them in the pictures, you study them any further?
I think you've just about covered it, all the departments that I do. It all depends. Some of them come more quickly. For instance, Ronald Coleman was one of the easier ones to do because he has a definite style.
Let's hear him, will you? He's one of my favorites.
"I indeed enjoy being here, and believe me, I'm about to board that 20th century very soon."
That's swell. And what about new creations? Do you work on new ones all the time?
Oh, yes. I'm working on Ray Milland, but I'm having an awful time consuming as much of what I'm supposed to get into character.
Well, Dean, thank you very, very much for being our guest today. It's wonderful to see you, and continued success to you in the show business. It's been great. And here's a tube of our product, Crank Shave Cream. Shave with it, and regardless who you're imitating, you'll enjoy it just as much.
Thanks, Bob, very much.
Thank you very, very much. That was Dean Murphy, one of the top figures in the theatrical business. Friends, I'd like to remind you again to take my personal recommendation and buy Crank Shave Cream. Crank's is the only shave cream containing that marvelous new discovery, Diexin, the wonder worker that softens your whiskers in seconds. And men, take my word for it, this means the quickest, smoothest, most comfortable shaves you've ever had. So be sure to get Crank Shave Cream, containing Diexin, in the new giant 25-cent size tube or the pound or half-pound jar. Well, this is Bob Elson saying goodbye for today from the world's great train, the 20th Century Limited.